Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show.
From Los Angeles, so 97.1 FM Talk. And the world listening in online at FrostyHeidiAndFrank.com. That's who we are, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
We've kind of talked about this situation before where a bartender serves a guy too much to drink, and then the guy goes and hurts himself in a car or just hurts himself in general, and then the bartender gets sued. We've talked about that before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is a little different situation, because I agree that if there's a guy who's in a bar, and obviously he had to get to the bar somehow, and you serve him, and he's completely hammered, but it's like, come on, one more, come on, man. Here's my money, could give me one more. And the bartender continues when you know it's like, I think you've had enough, buddy. Why don't you head on out of here?
I probably wouldn't do it if he's smacking the bar.
Hey, come on.
If he asks politely, okay, sure, buddy. I wouldn't care.
Right, but this situation's a little different, I think, because this happened to a guy named Michael Fenton. He's an admitted alcoholic. He went on a 2-day bender while staying at the Marriott Resort and Spa. He's at a hotel bar. So if I'm a hotel bartender, I'm assuming, hey, you're on vacation. Hey, get as hammered as you want. You live here, essentially, right? So there's
You're not
going
to drive in here, right? You're staying in the hotel.
Right. I'm at the hotel bar. I am completely S-faced, but it's clear that I'm fall down drunk, but you're on vacation. You're at this hotel.
I guess you could wander outside the front door of the bar onto the road and get splattered. So maybe there's still some sort of...
You could drown in your own vomit in the bathtub. Well,
there you go.
No.
Or fall in the pool and drown. Yeah, they still have an obligation.
Fall off your balcony.
Well, right. this did happen to a guy named Michael Fenton. He was a hotel guest. He was in the hotel bar. This happened back in January. And the bartender served him a substantial number of alcoholic drinks. It doesn't say how much, but substantial is probably...
I was hoping they would, because I wanted to guess what substantial is.
I know, it doesn't say, but the bartender continued serving him, even though he was visibly intoxicated. I guess he was there vacationing. He had family members with him, and apparently the family members found this Michael Fenton in the bar that evening and requested the bartender to stop serving him. The bartender said, he's an adult, he's got money, I'm going to serve him.
Oh, but no, they family, said.
But no. But my mom can't go up to a bartender and go, I think my daughter's had enough. No, it's up to you. If you think I've had enough, then you pull my ass out of there. It's not up to the bartender to stop serving me. If you're like, come on, Hyde, we're going to go. Come on. No, I think you're wrong. Come on, sweetie.
You've been pretty much wrong about everything today.
Yeah.
And once again, I think you're wrong about this. If somebody in your party says, hey, cut that guy off,
mm-hmm.
the bartender's going to cut him off. I mean...
Why not just take me home?
It's not just some random person at the bar going, hey, stop serving that guy because I'd like a drink down here. It's your group saying, giving
right.
the old cut across the neck sign.
All right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really safer to keep you with the group because if you're saying, oh, we'll send him back to his room, well, if the group's going to stay there in the bar for another hour or two drinking, you should be with us as well so we make sure you don't get in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't plead ignorance now. When the bartender's told by people who care about this person, cut him off,
but
that should be the end of it. No more drinks.
I understand, but I think that I am going to take responsibility for somebody in my party. I'm not going to expect you, the bartender, who doesn't... It's like if I'm out with Frank and we're together and clearly you've had enough and you...
Never happened.
And I know. And it's up to me as his wife, his girlfriend, his friend, however we're traveling together, that I'm going to say, come on, let's go. I'm getting you out of here. I'm going to take you out of here because you've had enough to drink. We're going to the hotel. If I have to lure you back to the hotel, come on, baby, I'll give you BJ. Anything to get you out of that situation, I'm not going to leave it up to somebody else to take care of you. I will take care of you because I'm... with you.
But you can take care of Frank by having him sit with you there at the bar with the table and continue to have a good time. Half the people in the bar are probably liquored up. It's not unusual to be intoxicated in a bar.
Right.
You don't have to go to the room and go to bed.
Well, the problem...
Yeah, you wait till I pass out and get one of those large luggage carts and just throw me on that and wheel me back to the room. I mean, why can't we do that?
By the way, can I screw you guys over? If we're out ever at some bar, could I...
You always do every time we're out.
Right.
You end up screwing us over somehow.
But could I go up to the bartender and go, hey, by the way, these two over here, they've been drinking way too much. They just chugged some tequila before we came in, so you need to cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
You could try. I don't even know that guy.
I don't know. We don't talk to him.
He's kind of creepy looking, isn't he? Yeah, sure
yeah,
he is.
And
security.
He tried, and I would say he tried to touch me in my girl parts.
Oh, okay, well,
yeah,
I
he's
see.
Scaring
yeah,
me.
He tried to touch me on my ball parts.
He's really creepy. I don't know. Well, the reason this made the paper is because, and you might kind of guess where this is going, the guy left he had to go to the bathroom. And he decided that he was on the second floor, but the bathroom was on the first floor. So he had to sort of navigate around this large, double-sided, grand, kind of open stairwell area to get down to the second floor to the lobby and go pee.
The lobby?
So as he tried to negotiate the first several steps, he fell over the handrail to the ground floor and suffered severe and permanent brain damage. He plunged about 100 feet, they said. This was where the stairwell
was. Damn!
That's a long stairwell.
It's a long way. It's a grand stairwell.
I don't believe it.
From one floor, 100 feet?
You can't fall 100 feet if you're on the second floor and you fall to the first.
This is what
if it's spiral, maybe he missed the first floor and fell like two floors to the basement or something.
Fenton then went to the large, double-sided, grand open stairwell on the second floor to go to the bathroom on the first floor as he tried to negotiate the first several steps.
Did he fall down the stairs?
It said over.
100 feet down?
That's not possible. That's stories.
That's what I thought, too. In an inebriated state, he plunged over a stairway some 100 feet. Now, he's suing the hotel for serving him because he's an alcoholic, and now he has brain damage.
Well, how's he know to sue if he has brain damage?
Well, I guess his family members.
Attorneys.
He's suing for, oh boy, what a list. He's suing for injuries, pain and suffering, mental anguish, disfigurement, hospital expenses, medical and nursing care treatment, loss of earnings, the ability to earn money, loss of the ability to enjoy life, and aggravation of a previously existing condition. A
couple of those sound the same thing. Loss of earnings and loss of ability to make a living.
Yeah.
Well, all those are legitimate, though. Disfigurement.
Was aggravating of the previous conditions.
I think
always kind of drunk now?
I think that, yeah, like he was an alcoholic and now that's just, I don't know.
So his family's suing because his family could cut him off and they didn't cut him off.
They didn't
and
cut
then
him
he
off.
Falls off the stairs.
Yes, but see, again,
yeah, makes sense.
I understand. I understand that part, but I go back to taking responsibility for myself and taking responsibility for people in my party. You've had enough. No, come on, I'll take you to the bathroom. We'll go together. No, I'm going by myself.
You can sue for anything. It doesn't matter.
I know,
and
but that's
I'm
what...
I'm sure they'll settle out. This most
the Marriott.
Suits settle out. Marriott will settle out.
Mm. Heidi, bars are in business to take money from people who want... Well, we love bars.
Of
we
course.
Know I hand over money, you give me booze.
I love it.
But they also have an obligation to not get everyone in the bar so liquored up they go out and get injured or hurt or kill someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They have a responsibility to look out for you. They can't give you unlimited booze. That would be poisoning you.
Yeah.
So they have to know when to cut you off. Hey, buddy, you've had enough.
I don't know. Haven't you seen that girl that's at the bar? Or even guy. But a lot of times you'll see the girl and, you know, she's at that. And you don't know. Maybe she's had two beers or two Cosmos or whatever the hell she's drinking. And alcohol affects us all differently. So she's just loud and crying. And she's like, I don't know. And now she's going to get another drink. Well, who is it up to me?
I'm buying it.
Well, I know. See, exactly. So
and make it a double.
So you go, well... Boy, how do you know? I mean, there are some people who are just obnoxiously loud sober, and now you get a beer at them, and they're even louder, and it's like, hey, buddy, I'm not serving you anymore. I mean, it's just a fine line.
I understand what you're saying. Family vacation, if someone's drunk, you usually take that person back to the room, put them to bed, make sure they're fine, then you go back to the party or whatever.
Of course, you make sure. I'm taking responsibility for my lover, loved one, son, daughter, friend, whatever it is.
So this guy I don't think was that drunk if he could stay down there himself and say, no, I'm not. Give me another drink. And the bartender's saying, okay, what are these people saying?
But
Scotty Frosty trying to pull a fast one on us and get us kicked out of the
bar.
But
his family knows he's an alcoholic.
And he didn't want to go back to the room.
And it said bender. So I'm thinking he was sober, doing well, went on a family vacation. Bender means I fell off the wagon because I'm...
No, I'm thinking they got into an argument on the stairway back to the room or back to the bathroom or whatever about cutting him off.
Right, like...
And a scuffle ensued, and somebody pushed somebody off the stairs.
You know
now they're blaming the hotel.
I kind of have that feeling, too. Like, I'm fighting you. Like, no, I'm going to the bathroom. No, you're not going to the bathroom. You're going to the bathroom. You're going back to the room. No. And it went on
so
like
that. So if you
that.
Accidentally murdered somebody, you blame the hotel and say they slipped because they were drunk.
Ooh, interesting.
You might be onto something here, Frank.
I'm just saying, take responsibility for your own people. I'll take care of mine. You take care of yours. I'm not going to expect you to take care of mine.
Our number is 888-520-9710. There's one thing, though, I have to interject here. I've been with you guys. You've seen me completely hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen you completely hammered. And a few times...
I'd never stop you from drinking.
I know.
I would never.
Really?
No.
I would.
Why would I?
Well, if
I got you into a cab and let you go by yourself, I did my part.
We've all done that with each other. You've been carried out of Saddle Ranch before when we're like, all right, he's done. Carry him out. Well, I wouldn't, you know, it was one of our friends who carried you out. It wasn't somebody from Saddle Ranch. It's like, no, we got him. We're going to take care of him.
Frank and I were drinking a couple months ago, and I got completely hammered on way too many margaritas, and Frank did the right thing, and I've thanked him for that. He's a good friend. He called me a cab.
It was like a month ago,
Should Mexicali have stopped serving you?
No, what I was going to say, well, my point is, people like me who may be completely hammered, and I'm sitting there, I'm slurring, my eyes are falling, and, you know, I'm ready to pass on the table. But I can muster enough energy, in a little burst of energy, to right myself, walk to the bar, and if it's a Friday afternoon, happy hour, it's crowded, and in fluent English say, margarita, please.
Sometimes you only have to do that. And you have to just go,
the busy
hold up
bartender,
an empty glass.
Yeah, and the bartender looks at me for 2 seconds, and I look fine. He doesn't know I'm wasted. I'm propped up again. So I can pull it off long enough to order another drink.
But as your friend, I know you're wasted.
Right.
Yeah, why deny this guy a glass of painkillers? That's what I would think.
So I think a lot of these bartenders don't know how drunk you are, because if you're like me, you can halfway sober yourself up long enough to get another drink. And they don't follow you all the way back to table. They're busy.
Exactly.
So I don't think the bartenders really know how intoxicated most people are. If you can say, beer me, or just hold up the bottle, you get a drink.
I could be, you know, there's that depressed guy at the bar with his head down, his girlfriend broke up, and I mean, he might look a little drunker than he is, just holds up his bottle like,
He's sitting at the bar. So, the bartender passes him 20 times a minute. He knows that guy's passed out. But me at the table, the other side of the restaurant, you don't know. Thanks, Frank, for that cab. That's very nice. Did I pay for that or did you? Because I don't even recall.
I told him you'd pay an oral. You don't remember?
That explains the sores.
Hey, a free ride's a free ride, right? That's what I always say.
Gina, you want Frosty?
Free for Frosty. Hate to say it.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Hello, Gina.
Hey,
Gino.
Gino, yeah.
What's up?
Frank Army, how you doing?
What's up, Gino?
Oh, nothing bad. Yeah, actually, I'm a bartender, and this recently just happened to a good friend of mine, just a bartender as well. He was similar situation. It wasn't at a hotel, it was at a pub, but he blatantly gave drinks to someone who had been sitting there for a good couple hours, probably had, over the course of a couple hours, maybe a dozen drinks, and the guy was, you know, just fall down drunk, and he left the bar and ended up falling right outside the bar and cracked his head open on the curb. And when the police came, and they actually ended up going in and speaking with him, and I didn't know that this was possible until this happened to him, but as bartender, you are responsible in mostly for your own sake to make sure that this person leaves.
Well, so what's the charge on the bartender? I know that there was a case where a guy was seen on the bartender or the bar's video system, the surveillance system, in there drinking for 8 hours, and he left and drove and he killed a family of five. And so I think the bar was responsible for the deaths, and they lost their liquor license. I don't know. What's the charge for a guy who just cracks his head on the street?
Right, yeah, exactly.
But what is the charge?
The charge is actually he ended up being charged with negligence.
Oh.
Negligence? It's not like involuntary manslaughter.
It's tough, though, because then that fine line is, like I said earlier when we started this, everybody's alcohol, you know, you handle it differently. Frank can drink a bottle of whiskey, and I'm not saying he's going to drive a car, but he might be completely fine, upright. I mean, he did a radio show talking after a bottle of whiskey. So, but then you might get a lightweight, goes in and decides, oh, hey, I'm just going to have a couple glasses of wine, has two glasses of wine. She seems fine to you, but walks outside the bar and is, wow, after I stood up, I sort of feel lightheaded. Now
or they
I crack
might
my
be
head
on
open,
a medication that they're not used to with alcohol.
Yeah, and so now you're going to get sued when it's like, wow, she only had two glasses of wine. Now she cracked her head open and I'm at fault. I just don't, that's a slippery slope.
I trip sometimes the sidewalk when I haven't been drinking.
Exactly.
When I'm sober,
why
I fall down.
Why don't you sue the city for the crack?
If I drink a couple Jack Daniels is in our limo somewhere, if we're going somewhere, the show, and then we stop at a bar and I go in and I have one beer there.
Right.
He doesn't know what I drank getting there.
That's what I'm saying.
So I might be completely hammered just walking into the bar.
These are like the cops pulling you over. You might be below the legal limit, but you were driving erratically, so you still get charged DUI because you're at .01.
Right. Yeah, and clearly you're...
Even though you're below the legal limit, you're just lightweight. You're drunk. And so you still get charged the DUI even though you're below legal limit. Mm-hmm. So it's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into a bar and you're drunk off three shots, well, okay, then I might not serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Might serve you one beer. Say that's it, or get the hell out of here.
But if you see me walking,
ruin the scene.
Walking in the door of the bar, don't most bartenders, if they look up and they see people coming in the bar, wouldn't the assumption be you came in to drink, you haven't been drinking out there?
Mm.
You're probably coming in reasonably sober. So if you order one shot of whiskey and I give you one shot, and you order a second shot and I give you two, in my mind, you've only had two shots, you're probably fine. But if I don't know you had six before you came here.
And we've
so
done
if I
those,
get charged with reckless endangerment because you end up leaving the bar and passing out in the street, well, officer, I just gave him two shots of whiskey.
Now, if you're,
fine,
if you're picturing like a cowboy and a bartender, it's not real busy. It's kind of a slow night, like the rib joint you worked at. That's different. But we've done the behind the bars. My God, that's insanity. I'm like, I don't know. Here, take your Rob Roy and your Cosmo. And I mean, it's busy. You can't really, you're not paying attention about, wow, was that girl really drunk? I made her another drink. It was strong. I don't even know.
I get so drunk, I pass out. So I drink with everybody there.
We can't be blamed for anything.
Yeah. So I will definitely pass out before anybody else is drunk in the bar. So they can't blame me.
All right. He was sleeping.
I fell asleep in the ice.
Helps the headache.
Heather, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
How you doing?
Great.
I got stuck with watching the drunk girl that never gotten drunk before with all our friends, and everybody wanted to see how she reacted. She warned everybody, and everybody got her drunk. And then me, the sober one, got stuck with her the rest of the night as she's breaking glasses and hopping up on the table and just being crazy. And then I got stuck with her back in the hotel room because she wouldn't stay in her room, and they had to post a security guard outside the door. It was horrible.
And this was her first time getting drunk, Heather?
I guess she'd gotten drunk before and had warned everybody, like, this is why I don't drink, and everybody decided to get her drunk anyways. It was horrible.
That's the bad part about taking your drunk friend back to the hotel room, then you going back to the bar. They're going to leave.
Yeah, that's why you got to stay
with
them.
They're going to stagger out and then get in trouble. That's
but
what
see,
I do.
She was responsible. She stayed with her.
Yeah, it's horrible. Fun at all.
Thanks, Heather.
No problem.
James, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hello?
Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I think it's pretty retarded that they're trying to sue. I didn't really hear the whole story. Did the parents ask the bartender to stop serving him?
Yeah, he's a grown man. His name's Michael Fenton. He is an admitted alcoholic, but went on a two-day bender, got really S-faced, and then he fell over a stairwell and plunged about 100 feet, they say, and now he's got brain damage. So he was on vacation, I guess, with family members, and they told the bartender, you need to cut him off. He's had enough. And the bartender said, he's a grown man, and he's got money.
Yeah, I don't know. I could go both ways with me. I mean, I don't know. I think it's pretty retarded that the bartender kept going, but at the same time...
How old are you, James?
I'm 16.
I know. It's like, have you met a bartender? You sound so young.
What? Aren't you in school today, James?
No, I'm in independent study, and I'm trying to win tickets to the NASCAR thing for my girlfriend.
Well, you just won.
Aw, oh, look at that.
Are you serious?
Let me see if I have any before I start saying you won them. Oh, yeah, you did.
Yay.
A pair of tickets to the Auto Club 500.
Awesome. Where is that?
It says catch all the stars of NASCAR at the Auto Club 500. Sunday, February 22nd. I don't know. Look it up.
Awesome.
Auto Club members can call 800-944-RACE. Maybe you should call that number, 800-944-RACE, for an exclusive ticket offer. There you go.
And thanks, James, for your input. And we, you know, sure used all your years of experience there and your knowledge on this subject.
And
thank
hopefully
you.
I got you to second base with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
97.1 FM Talk.
It's 97.1 FM Talk in Los Angeles. Hello to all our listeners online around the world. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Our number is 888-520-9710. Stan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Stan.
Hey, just calling about one friend of mine. We were in the bar, and we had a good time. They had a lot to drink there, and they left the bar. And when they left the bar, they just got in their car, and they were in there just waiting. They're going to try to sleep it off. And they ended up, the police came by. It was after the bar was closed. They ended up giving this guy the DUI for it. And the friend's attorney is trying to sue the bar for that.
See, that's not right.
I know. That's what we're trying to tell. We're like, yeah, it's your own fault. You're
and everybody knows you
gotta
go in the back seat and take the keys out of the ignition. Everybody knows that when you sleep it off in the car. Come on. Can't sit in the driver's seat.
I agree with you on that 100%.
So the question is, should the bartender ever be blamed if you are convicted of any crime involving alcohol?
Right, and I don't like it. I just don't like it. I mean,
or if you fall down and hurt yourself.
Right.
In this case, this guy fell off a staircase, landed on his head, and now he's retarded.
Right, and his family's suing because they said the bartender, you know, should have cut him off when they asked him to cut him off, and he didn't, and I just...
What if this guy was throwing out giant tips?
You did say tip. then, yeah.
And what if this guy had giant tips?
That's exactly right. Can I get another? I don't like
Why would you risk being a bartender at all?
Exactly.
If you miss some guy.
You'd have to have
malpractice.
Because
you're busy on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And like me, he just waddled up the bar, held up his beer bottle. I gave you beer. That was the one that puts you over the edge. You go out and you kill a busload of nuns. Now, I'm liable. Well,
this is going to close bars, which is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We need more bars, not less.
Yeah, drink at home.
Where can we roofie chicks? They won't know it.
Deborah, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hi, Tripod. How are you today?
What's up, Deborah?
I'm a bartender out here in Moreno Valley, and I have two surefire ways that always get my customers coming back when I have to cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to keep my customers coming back, so I always tell them that, well, for the chicks and the more, when the guys get really drunk and they get really, like, happy, I always tell them, look, I have to cut you off because I want you to come back and I want you to be safe. And if it means you'll never come in on my shift again because I cut you off, I'm fine with that as long as you're safe.
All right. Do you do it?
I do. I always keep my word.
You're a wonderful woman, Deborah, and a better bartender.
Gotta go party in Moreno Valley.
So Deborah shows her boobs to the drunk guys if they
let her cut them
off.
If
they call a cab.
Right, yeah.
She'll show the boobs.
It sounds like a good deal to me.
Doing her bit for society. Andrew, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Andrew?
Short time listener.
Well, welcome.
Am I on the show or I'm getting pre-screened?
No, you're on the air live.
You're live, man.
Hey, Andrew.
Oh, how's it going? I think it's complete BS for any bartender to cut somebody off. If they let this lawsuit go through and the guy gets to sue the bartender, this is going to be mayhem everywhere. You're not going to be able to get wasted on Friday and Saturday when it's the weekend.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, the thing that I have a problem with is how is the bartender going to know how drunk you are or aren't? And secondly, if I want to get a bunch of friends together and get a limousine,
mm-hmm.
drink responsibly. No one's driving. It's going to pick us up at my house. Me, Frank, Heidi, a couple friends, we're going to go down to the bar and get hammered.
Right.
And the limo's going to take us right back to my house and we're going, you know, to my place. We're drinking responsibly in the bar. We're intoxicated there. But we're not going to get in trouble there. Now, if the bartender sees us coming in staggering and he can't serve us because he doesn't know about the limo or he can't take the chance, well, how's it fair to the patrons who are drinking responsibly if you can't get served because you're already drunk? You might be drinking responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were on a jury, Frosty, and hearing this case, would you still have that same attitude or would you change because you're thinking, I mean, it's almost like when people get on a jury, they think they're better than they really are.
Well, you automatically think you're like a part of the law. Like, I'm an attorney now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, serious.
I'm a judge.
All right.
Or would you say the same thing and be like, no, I'm on this jury. I'm not blaming the bartender.
Depending on how good the attorney was, they could probably sway some people, but you may get some people on the jury who are prudish and don't drink. Good luck convincing them it's okay to get drunk somewhere.
Right. The limo, Frosty, your limo thing, or if somebody does have a designated driver. I mean, go back to your story. We all had a limo. We all got S-face, which we've done many times. Now we go back to your house. We're like, hey, let's go skinny dipping. And now I'm drunk.
Yeah, we left you in the pool.
I'm drunk. I left you in the pool, or I slipped and cracked my head open, and now it's like, you know what? We're going to go back to that bar and sue because he served me way too many drinks.
What if I had cut my feet on the broken glass that I dropped my beer bottle on your patio.
Or your sack.
Yeah, what if I slipped and cut my sack on that broken beer bottle when I was trying to clean it up?
Yeah, we own that bar.
Well, see, that's not right.
See,
bars are having a hard enough time the way it is with the economy because people aren't going out to bars because they don't want to pay, you know, $4 for a beer.
Or eight
people
for an
extra
drink.
People are staying home and drinking.
Yeah.
So bars don't need the extra threat of lawsuits.
I agree.
In this tough time we're having, and that's part of my stimulus plan. Kramer 08 or 12. Missed 08 in my hair.
It was very close.
Jenny, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jenny.
I'm new to California, and I've just started listening to you guys. You're hilarious. I love it.
Thank you.
I just want to tell you, like I said, I'm bartending in Florida, so I don't know what the laws are like in California or wherever this happened. But we take a class that's called Responsible Vendors. We take it quarterly, and what it is, it's like a seminar that the ACF does with all the bartenders and all the people in the service industry there that serve alcohol from the bouncers to the bartenders to the waitresses.
Well, the reason you have to do that, because you're from Florida, and everyone in Florida is a goddamn moron.
That's why she left.
And so you have to basically... It's like being a special needs teacher. You have to have certain classes other people don't have to take.
But anyway, there is a law, though, that specifically deals with alcoholics. I don't know how it is.
This is in Marco Island, Florida, by the way, the story that I just told.
Okay, well, then this would apply there. If you know that someone is an alcoholic, whether they tell you themselves or someone else tells you, it is absolutely illegal and it's a crime to serve them, and you are held negligible and liable.
How can you make a medical analysis of somebody, and you're a bartender, and someone just said, oh, that person's an alcoholic, and I have to take their word for it?
You just have to.
I guess it's protect your own ass.
Yeah, you sign a paper. Sucks.
But there's a difference between being drunk and being an alcoholic.
Yeah, we all call each other that. Like, we're out and we're like, damn, alcoholic.
No, I think we're all alcoholics. We just haven't admitted it yet. That's the first step.
We just haven't gotten
I refuse to take step one then.
Yeah, I don't want to fall down the first step. And, are the steps going up or down in the 12 steps? I always thought they were going down. I was always afraid of that first one. Because then I'd figure I'd slip and then I'd end up like this guy. Just head injury. Brain dead.
Do you think the whole point of that seminar that Jenny was talking about there is if I'm the bar owner and if I'm ever sued, I can go, well, here's the records. Every 120 days, we have a seminar for all employees on alcohol education. So we've done our part.
Right.
We've trained our employees to spot drunks and they couldn't spot him.
Or how about you just put up a sign up outside that says we don't serve alcoholics. So anyone who comes in is an alcoholic. Well, then they broke the law coming in.
Oh.
That's brilliant. Has anyone tried that? No alcohol.
Or, how about this? Since they have ignitions that you have to blow into to get your car started to make sure you aren't drunk, have that on the taps and all the bottle pours. It's like, oh, you want a shot of whiskey? You got to blow into the side of like the bottle pour. If you're not drunk, it'll open up. Oh, yeah!
Party!
They wouldn't sell any then, would they?
No, you'd just bring a sober friend who'd blow into the bottle for you. He's a designated driver and designated blower.
Come on, Sheila.
He's a blow driver.
Had to do that more than once.
I'll take care of that.
Something there. Yeah.
Jess, hello.
Hello?
Hi, Jess.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, I'm a 22 bro student. I go to Cal State Fullerton, bro. Hey, man, in downtown Fullerton, I bar hop all the time. Ain't no bartender gonna know how much I drank before.
Yeah, going from bar to bar. What about multiple bartenders or multiple bars in one bar?
That's what I'm saying. It's
I mean,
different when it's
ways to get around this. We've always done it.
The bar my dad owns is owned as a little. It's a bar with maybe 7 bar stools and a bartender and 3 guys sitting in there. That's different. You're gonna be able to tell. But on a busy Friday night where you're like, there are 4 bartenders and the place is crowded. It's like, you don't know. How can you fault anybody?
And let's say we're at a table and one of us, okay, I'm going to round of beers. I'll get it. I'm the guy getting
sober.
The beers. So the bartender doesn't see the drunkard at the table.
Uh-huh.
I'm the guy who goes up and comes back with shots and beers. Well, you're the drunkard sitting there half passed out on the stool that the bartender doesn't even see. That's the guy who's going
to
get in trouble.
You know, a lot of places won't even do that. Like if you go to concerts and some bars won't even do this where you're like, I'm going to get, so I need 4 beers and 2 shots. And like, oh, it's a 2-drink per person.
I don't like that rule,
and you're like,
by the way.
Well, the F.
I don't like that rule.
I guess that's why, so that I can't get, what, completely hammered? I don't know what that rule is.
Well, I hate it.
I'm trying to buy drinks for the table, dummy.
They should make the drinks the leader's size. Right. Then I wouldn't have a problem with it.
It's a good question from Jim. What about liquor stores then? Liquor store sells you some booze. You go home, down the bottle, fall off your staircase, and crack your skull open. Now you're retarded. Well, how do you do it? Well, if he didn't go to the liquor store, that guy wouldn't sold him the booze, then he would never fall down the stairs.
How's
so we're
going to
sue the liquor store.
Well, see? True. You can. It's a slippery slope.
Every bottle of whiskey they sell, if you chugged it, you'd be dead. So they're selling you bullets, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to drink responsibly.
Right.
By the way, all this drinking talk, man, I'm jonesing for those.
Seriously.
We got
guest coming in at 12.
Really?
So we have...
Want to do some shots today?
We got coming in. Kerry Preston.
Oh,
she's from True Blood. She plays Arlene. Speaking of bars, she plays a bar waitress at the Merlot's in Louisiana. I think it's Louisiana, right? True Blood takes place.
Mm.
True Blood's the Alan Ball creation. I hear it's really good. I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing something else now, I think, with Julia Roberts or something, Heidi.
Oh, my God. That's great.
So you can do your impersonation for her, and she can tell you how much it sucks.
I'll tell.
That sounds nothing like her, by the way.
Right. Yes, I know. It's a bit caricature-ish.
I wonder if Julia does an impersonation of you.
Oh, I'm sure she
or
does.
Or can she dumb herself down that much?
I know.
She's got some Bloody Marys since she got her coming in.
She's a huge fan.
Even though she's not a vampire on the show.
Mm.
I'd for that.
Do you know how to make Bloody Marys? Yeah. You're a Mary boy.
That was bloody funny.
Extra spicy.
So you going to run over to Ralph's, get some Bloody Mary mix real quick?
What's wrong with beer and whiskey? I don't really care for Bloody Marys.
You don't?
No.
I thought you said that was a good idea.
Well, I was kind of joking. I mean, yeah, if you guys want to have a Bloody Mary, fine, but I don't really care for
just because she's from True Blood.
Mm. All right, fine, I'll drink a damn Bloody Mary. Ugh.
You've never had a Bloody Mary?
I have. I've never had one I liked.
Oh, you haven't had a
I really haven't. It's the tomato part and the celery stalk.
Oh, God forbid you put
any vodka.
Vegetables.
The vodka I like. Tell you what, leave out everything except the vodka, and then I'll drink it.
So he just wants a shot of vodka.
Yeah, I don't want a V8 with booze in it.
Yeah, I just want a cherry tomato and a glass of vodka.
Fine.
That's talking. My Bloody Mary.
Okay, fine. Bloody Marys for everyone.
Mm.
David in Orange, what's up?
Frank Army.
What up, David?
Pants and panty waist.
Hey, baby.
Hey, this is about, 8-9 years ago. I was in a bar, really, really trashed, and I ended up falling and hurting my thumb in the bar. And what happened was the bartender gave me a bucket of ice, put me in the corner, and I ended up passing out, and my pinky stayed in the ice for about 2 hours, and I ended up losing from the knuckle down on my...
dead?
Yeah, what ended up happening is I ended up getting frostbite from the ice, and...
The ice wouldn't melt and it'd just be room temperature water after about 15 minutes.
Well, this is the good part is I didn't even hurt my thumb, and I ended up having my pinky in the ice. My thumb was completely out of the ice.
Well, David, I'm going to give you a prize for that.
Oh, thank you.
It's a pinky ring. Yay!
Yeah, oh, too bad.
Oh.
No, it's a Gourmet Foods $50 online voucher. Is that your thing, Heidi? Gourmet Foods?
Yeah.
Get your special someone a sweet treat this Valentine's Day at secretspoon.com.
Secretspoon.com.
Hmm.
It's not your thing, is it?
Well, Gourmet Foods, thegiantberries.com, maybe they're sisters or brothers cousins.
By the way, I locked up.
$50, that's a lot of strawberries. Yeah.
My domain is unsecretfork.com.
You've got a lot of secret forks.
Yeah, Frosty, what if a waitress could cut you off from dessert? You know, sir, I think you've had enough food.
Yeah.
We're afraid you're going to explode in the actual dining hall.
I want you to come back someday and see me. I don't want you to go home and die.
Right.
From a heart attack.
But the cholesterol artery clogging is a slow death. May take years. It's different from the guy who's going to get, alcohol poisoning and die in 20 minutes.
He may not. Alcoholics live a long, long time. They might die of cirrhosis, but it might take a long time. Yeah.
That would be insulting. Sorry,
exactly.
We can't serve you, sir. You're too fat.
You've had too much. You've got to go.
And I'd go home and eat myself silly just thinking about it.
Exactly. So the guy goes back to his room and drinks the mini bar.
Right.
Because he can't get served anymore.
And passes out and dies and his family sues the bar. Mm, not right.
Yeah. He chokes on a bag of $25 M&Ms.
They taste better than when you buy them at the store, though. I don't know what it is about mini bar peanut M&Ms. My God, they're delicious.
Because they're in the fridge.
Maybe that's what it is. It's like, God, these are so good. They're really worth $25.
You don't keep your M&Ms in the fridge.
No.
And you're drunk. Everything.
Well, there is that. Yeah, I'm completely hammering. These things are delicious.
Did you ever?
And you're washing them down with Heineken. M&Ms and Heineken.
Where was it? I was somewhere at a relatively nice hotel somewhere, and there was a thing of cashews there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I took that out without looking at the price thing over next to the,
That's probably Morongo. Morongo had cashews.
That's where it was. And later it's like $14.
Yeah. I chowed my bag last time I was there.
Me too.
I ate cashews too.
They were $14 all of a sudden.
I was that hungry.
It was tasty.
I was like, I gotta eat some cashews to get the taste of my bag out of my mouth.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Okay, maybe I've had too much to drink in my drinking years, because I think I'm developing Alzheimer's, I think.
Why do you say that?
Well, there's a study in the paper today that shows people even my age, whatever that age is.
Mm-hmm.
And I look so youthful, don't I? even people for my age can develop. It's always funny people do that, isn't it?
It is.
Not really.
Take that, Robin Williams.
Mm.
Anyway, apparently there are danger signs of Alzheimer's that regardless of your age, even if you're in your 40s or 30s, if you're doing these things, a study group has just been done with people who are young, middle-aged, and old, people with Alzheimer's and without, and there's one area, one part of your life that you should be aware of these signs. I'm going to rattle through about 8 or 9 here very quickly. If you have 2 or more of these, you should maybe be prepared for the onset of Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Because these are some of the early warning signs. And it happens when you're driving.
All right.
So, driving signs of early onset of Alzheimer's. Do you ever get lost frequently when you're going somewhere?
Nope.
You do.
I always get lost.
You get lost going around the block.
My God.
But see, I've always gotten lost. It didn't just start happening. When I was like 9, I'd get lost. So I'm not counting this.
It's because you're
trying
pay.
To lose yourself.
But everywhere he goes, there he is.
He always ends up there.
Do you find yourself needing more help than before with directions?
No.
Isn't that the same as getting lost
all
the time?
No, once you're on the way, if you get lost, that's different from before you leave. Oh, I need directions. Oh, how do I get there again? I forget. Where's the bar? I forget.
Mm.
So if you find yourself going, where is that place again? How do I get to Staples Center?
No, I pay attention.
If you find yourself driving someone else's car.
Right.
You don't remember stealing it.
In a city you don't live in. If you have trouble making turns, they say particularly left turns.
Trouble?
For whatever reason, if left turns are giving you a little more trouble than they used to, because I guess you're crossing the oncoming traffic, that could be one of these early signs of Alzheimer's.
Nope, no problem there either.
Well, you're a lead foot. You don't care. If this is Heidi, though. If you notice you've received more citations for moving violations than in your youth.
No, they're all the same. It's all the same.
You've
ever since I started driving. Oh, yeah, it's never changed.
Okay, how about this one? You may have early onset of Alzheimer's if you notice other drivers honk at you frequently now. This happens to me.
My God. This is.
I'm like.
You're yes for everything,
I'm
right?
I'm not even going to know your name by next week.
Look, I get honked at all the time for reasons I don't understand why they're honking.
Because you suck at driving. Yes, you do.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
How can you be in denial of that?
How do you know I suck at driving?
We go around the block. We go, meet back here, just around the block. And where's Frosty? We're waiting a half an hour.
Yeah, it takes him 15 minutes. He has to go around a block.
I got stuck at a stoplight, and there was the trash truck.
We all went the same way.
Yeah, but you won't go around it. Yeah. You won't figure out how to maneuver in the world. You sit there. I'm stuck.
Well, I don't like to do U-turns because those are illegal, so I'll wait my turn. You know, the thing is, if I get honked at and I know I screwed up, I understand the honk. But what's worrying me is just in recent years, I get honks for reasons I don't understand the honk. Mm. And I feel like, what did I do?
See, that's the problem.
You're all right.
That's why
you're in your own little world.
Alzheimer's.
You don't pay attention to anybody else.
All right. You may have early onset of Alzheimer's. Frank, this is you, I think. If you notice yourself stopping at green lights and your mind wanders and people honk at you because you haven't gone when it turns to green.
Mm. That's still, a stoned.
Yeah, that is you.
What? Oh. I had another kind of green on my mind. Sorry, my bad. That's when you put your hand up. My bad.
And for those of you who honk at us who daydream when the light turns green, don't forget, the first honk is supposed to be the short...
Right.
It's not... That you save that for, like, the second honk, if I don't hear that. But the first one's a polite little... Excuse me, you idiot! Okay, save
do you have
long.
A better honk setting than that?
Yeah, that wasn't really
that
good.
That is a bad,
What is the setting you have it on?
Who's behind you,
full
the symphony
band.
Orchestra?
Full rock band?
I don't think I have a car horn on
I
this.
Wish my horn sounded like that,
that thing's
though.
A piece of crap. That'd no be... car horn?
I can give you a tuba.
I can bring in a Casio, which I a car horn.
Right, here we go.
That's better.
Light turns green.
Driving a Prius?
A smart car.
Right.
You may have early onset of Alzheimer's, even in your 30s and 40s, if you notice yourself braking for no reason. My foot does that, too.
You are ill.
I'm driving like, why am I slowing down? Oh, my foot's in the brake.
See, that's the bad driver in you. You're like, what's with the brake tapping?
I'll save this for last. Two to go. You may have early signs of Alzheimer's, regardless of your age. If you are finding and noticing dents and scrapes in your car that you cannot explain. I have those. I think they're door dings, though.
Because
people like to, you know, they throw the door open and bash the side of your car.
Right.
But I've got these weird scrapes on the front and back of my car that I didn't do. Now, how do I know someone?
You probably
because you were drunk.
Right.
See. Oh, I would never drive inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
See, I go to, like, Target or something or Home Depot and I park in the parking lot. How do I know someone's cart didn't scrape my bumper up there? It couldn't be a body I was hitting driving home from the bar.
Carts usually don't leave paint residue behind.
No, there is that. All right, so see if you can guess the very last one. The absolute most common gaffe, the most common drive...
What?
Did you hear that?
No, I just...
I want to go back to the tape and listen to that disinterested sigh.
That was like an Al Gore debate sigh.
No, I actually even have a guess for this, and I think I might have it.
No,
but
that was a sign.
No,
Frank's
I was taking a deep breath because I realized I was holding my breath the whole time.
It was an exhale.
I don't know what. Yeah, no, I had taken a deep breath. See,
no,
that
it was right after he goes, all right, there's one more. You
Maybe the Al Gore debate when the camera caught him sighing, that was you.
All right, fine.
This is the last one.
I know. That was my sigh of relief.
You even did like a Molly Ringwald eye roll.
I did a little bit. Sorry about
that. Claire Danes.
That was rude.
All right. What do you think it is? The most common gaffe, you may not even notice yourself doing this, but the observers who had these people drive around, and the people who were inclined to develop or developing Alzheimer's, regardless of their age, did one particular thing they probably don't know they were doing, and it was while they were driving. Any guesses before I tell you?
Ooh, I think something came out on that one.
You got to wipe the mic off.
That was like an olive. When did I eat olives?
My guess was going to be and we kind of talked about this before, and it always scares me, where I get all the way to work. I got about 15 miles to work. Sometimes it takes an hour, and I don't remember. I'm pulling in
that's
the parking
natural,
garage.
That's,
yeah,
that's
so
not a symptom.
I thought that was one, but it can't be observed. But I've had that feeling where I go, oh, my God, I don't remember driving here. That scares me a little bit.
Do that.
But that's not one of them, so I don't know.
That's not it. Frank yawned.
See,
so
I'm rubbing my tired eye.
It's like a Lunesta commercial in here.
Oh my God.
I'll just tell you. The most common thing that people do in early onset of Alzheimer's is lane violations. They start drifting across the lanes, not knowing they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was observed. Failure to stay in your own lane. That probably counts for the honks.
Right, exactly. I have none of those, which I'm happy
for. None? I have all but one.
Which one don't you have?
What? What are you talking about? Well, of course, I'll have eggs this morning.
With olives.
I guess I do have all. Well, I don't think I drift in lanes. I don't think I do. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why you're getting honked at all the time.
But you know what? Just to be honest with you, sometimes there are lanes you can't tell where the lane is. Like,
Excuses.
No, there, a lot of roads here in Los Angeles are 4 or 5 lanes wide. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes they forgot to put the stripes. And
they forgot
and
to
what
put
they
the
do is, what they do is they put the asphalt down, the pavement, but the width of the steamroller is not the same width of the lane. You with me? So the crack, the seam,
right,
where the steamroller went, may be in the middle of the lane. I have a tendency to follow the pavement as opposed to the stripes.
Right.
I go where the steamroller went.
Follow the stripes.
Now, what the...
People are saying that they heard Heidi's sigh. They thought it was excellent, even though you weren't planning it. And said that Leica should use that. Take me out Heidi style, just disinterested. Just...
I apologize.
Oh, God. Well, I sure enjoyed that.
I hope Tom does it. I'll be flattered.
When you find yourself in the car and half of a sandwich is already eaten and you don't remember eating the first half?
Well, they want you to know that if you're developing Alzheimer's...
When you sigh and an olive flies out your nose and you don't remember where you ate olives last?
That is frightening.
All of this story, don't you?
I sure do.
Anyway, they say when your driving skills fall off, if you do in fact have these early signs of Alzheimer's, even if you're 35, 40 years old, the fall off is immediate. It's not a slow taper down like you're probably thinking. It's like you're fine on Monday and Tuesday you're getting...
Really?
Well, that's probably good.
Well, what can you do to stop it from happening? Is there nothing that...
Well, there is no solution.
Nothing?
No.
Not
bull in the head, maybe.
Ginkgo biloba or whatever?
If you can't help it, you
crap.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh.
They say it doesn't work.
Was that the memory thing?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh.
Whatever it was, it doesn't work.
What? We have to break. When we come back, I've got a story on Alzheimer's, the early signs to look for.
Oh, okay.
I'll try to get that in when we come back here.
How do you spell Alzheimer's?
A-
LTZ?
There's no T. It's no. ALZ, I think.
ALZ?
ALZ.
HEI.
MER.
MER. Apostrophe.
Yeah, S.
S.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Still quite a Pepsi, the new Alzheimer's sandwich.
We have to break. This is WLS Chicago. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, 97.1 FM Talk, Los Angeles.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 97.1fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.